of Questions with Helen Crum from Hague, North Dakota by Katie Wald. Now, after the war ended and you were in Germany, did you ever contact the Red Cross then to find out what happened to your relatives that got separated from you as you were leaving Russia?
Yes, we did.
How did you ever find out that some of them are in certain villages in Siberia?
Because some of them came back to Germany.
Did some of the people from there return after they put in their 20 years of hard labor or what?
None of them.
What happened to your father?
He died in 1935.
You mentioned that he was hurt in the war, but then you only mentioned that you fled with your mother and sisters. Did he die before that?
Yes, he died in 1935 of emphysema.
You mentioned that you tried to get to your aunt's place in Germany. What was your aunt's name and where did she live?
She lived in Augsburg in Germany and her name was Josepha Milba.
Did you ever get in contact with her once you got to Germany or did you never find her?
No, because they bombed everything and we never found out. She got killed through the war or she died before.
If you did, why did she... What was your Aunt Josepha's husband's name?
That I don't remember.
You mentioned a Meyer family that had five members taken away at once. Do you remember the names of them, since my great-grandmother was a Meyer and most likely came from Strasbourg also?
I remember the name of the father was Adam Meyer, but I didn't remember all the kids' sons and daughters who they took away. That I don't remember, because they were quite older than I am.
Maybe these were some of her people. I don't know what she means by that.
Maybe she meant that all these are first of her great-grandmother. That I would remember.
What happened to your mother?
She died in 1980 in Germany.
Did she stay with your sisters?
Yes.
Did she ever come over to America to visit you?
Yes, she came in 1962 and she stayed for a whole year. She went back to Germany again.
Did your sisters ever want to come over here?
Lots of time, but I don't know, they just didn't make it, so.
You mentioned that you went to Odessa to shop sometimes. Were there many German people living in Odessa?
All nationalities. There were Germans and Jews and Russians, Cossacks, and everything you want to see, everything. It was a port town, you know, where boats, ships come in and go. There was all kinds of people living in there.
Of what nationality were most of the people living there?
Russian.
Did any relatives live there?
No.
Did you sell grain in Odessa, or was there a place closer to Strasbourg where you could sell grain?
Yes, we had the own depot where we could sell grain, but in the early stage, they had to haul it to Odessa.
You said your father was a carpenter. Was your brother also a carpenter?
No, no. He was like a farmer, whatever you want to say. No, he wasn't a carpenter.
Was there enough business in Strasbourg to keep them busy, or how did you supplement your income?
There was enough work to keep them busy because they all had to make whatever they had themselves by hand, so they they had enough work to do.
Yeah.
But they didn't get very rich with it, let's say, so they just made a living.
What do your sister's husbands do in Germany?
Well, they both working in the factories.
I think what you discussed after the tape ran out about your childhood was probably interesting. Can you relate some of the things you remember about when you were a little girl and a teenager?
Yeah, there would be a lot of stuff to remember, but I really don't know what she mean, maybe growing up, how we passed the time or what.
I'm sure.
Well, we passed the time too. We, like boys and girls, used to go together, go to having dance or having a party. But there wasn't much danger having a party because there's nothing, no cars to drive. Wherever you go, you have to walk. And so we passed the time playing games and singing songs. And teenagers, they're like teenagers. They paired up too when they were 18 or 19. But that's all. That's the way we thought we were lucky or happy, but we didn't know in a different way. So
there were no movie halls or anything at that time.
They came later on when communists took over, and then they showed some movies and stuff. But it was more propaganda, you know, than enjoyment or entertainment. Oh. It was more how you grow up and be communist, and how you don't listen to your parents or don't go to church anymore. But it wasn't entertainment, it was more a force on you, you know. Mm-hmm. But you had to go because you lived there, so you had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And see it, you know, but you had to make your own choice if you would like this or not.
Were there any magazines available at that time to buy and to read?
No, there was not such a thing. You could go to the library and pick up books, but they were selected by the government. You couldn't say, well, I write this book from German or America or what. We not even knew there was America or German until we went to school, you know, because there was no talk about that. But there was no magazine. And there was just the paper that was the local paper, you know, was printed, but it was censored, so there was nothing.
Who were your grandparents, and what do you remember about them?
Well, my grandparents was Steve Feist, and grandma was Margaret Feist. And I was 4 years old. That was Ma told me when they died. They died not too far apart. But she said they were kind old people, you know, down to earth. So that's all what I remember about it. You know.
How did they make a living?
That's the way, you know, like grandpa was a carpenter. Then they had a vineyard, and then they had a cow with them. So that's the way they didn't make money, but they lived.
What did they tell you about their past?
Well, I was too little, so all what I got to know, what Ma told me, you know, like they had a hard time, you know, but that's all.
What were they like? Were they real friendly or shy towards others?
Well, I don't know, people in that time, they were kind of not as outspoken till now, like now, you know, you talk back or what. But people that time, like a priest told you something that was holy and that you kept, so that there was no, people didn't war rowdy or, you know, fought back or what. They took everything by strikes, whatever.
Try to remember what your grandmother's maiden name was also.
She was a Schlosser.
How did you celebrate Christmas when you were young?
Well, we were just like the kids now here, you know. You waited 2 months before Christmas come, but there was no gifts like now. Or we made our own tree. We cut the, you know, went down to the river and cut the living, or what they call it, the weeping willows. off, and then we made little ring papers, we glued them together, and then we painted nuts, silver and gold, and we hung them on. And then Mom baked some cookies, and we made like little rings, you know. And we hung that one on, and little candy cane, something like that. That in the morning you got up, and maybe my brothers, my sister, they got dolls later on, but I never, they never got dolls. They made a homemade doll, you know, just. But then you got the orange and a couple of apples, a couple of nuts, and that was it. That was Christmas. You know, there wasn't much to it, you know.
But I imagine like the church services.
Oh, the church, that's what's the important part. Oh, everybody went to church midnight, and then the next day, the first thing you went to your godmother, your godfather, and there you got maybe a scarf or a pair of socks or two hangies. Or you got the ruble, and that was all. But they celebrate too, then all through Advent there was no dance, and then in Steffistock, you know, the second day, then they had a big dance, and a new year, you know. But as gift, as far as gifts go, I don't think they spent 10 ruble or 15 ruble on the whole family, because no, there was nobody knew nothing about the gift.
Did the whole family get together too then for Christmas dinner?
Yeah, they invited, you know, grandma and grandpa or the neighbors or the old widows or uncle and aunt who had nobody. So then they had the goose or they had a duck or whatever, and they made this as a dinner. And so they celebrate with pig's feet, galettes, stuff like that. That's the way they celebrate. But from gift, no, there was no gift. People didn't have it, and they didn't know it, but they thought that's Christmas, you know, that's all.
They had also had a midnight mass, though, then?
Yeah, they had the midnight mass, yeah, Christmas, yeah. And then the Christkindlein, like, in every street there was young people went together, and they made a Christkindlein, you know, a girl. And they put a crown and with all ribbons, and she had the lace veil on the dress, that was Christkindlein. And then the ladies, the girls who went walk with her, you know, they had wings like angels, so they brought them. The kids had to see all comb the hair and wash the hair, and they waited for the whatever they got, a little dar or a little book, whatever, just something little, you know. And they were sitting just like this and shaking, and then the Christkind came around and brought that stuff from heaven. That's what he said.
There was also a Belzenigel at that time.
Belzenigel, yeah. Well, when the Christkindl went out, and then she said, you got to be good, and you got to listen to your mom, pa, you got to say your prayer, or else the Belzenigel comes. And so when the Christkindl went out, and then he had a big chin rattling beside him, and the Belzenigel, he had a fur coat inside out, and he went in hand and feet, and he made noise, and the kids were jumping up the pit and all over. So they had to give him something, so he goes. So that's the way Christmas was celebrated.
There was no such a thing as a real Santa Claus then,
no,
at that time?
No, nobody knew nothing. We didn't know nothing about Santa Claus then. We came to Germany. We didn't know nothing. There was Christkindl and Belzenigel, that's all what it was.
That's what was in Russia then?
That was in Russia, yeah. Okay. Yeah. When we came to Germany, then the St. Nicholas, and then we brought that stuff on. And like for Easter, you know, you had to, there was a celebration, you know, you go around 40 days of land, and then the kids went around, you know, the ones who, in Holy Week, you know, they had to watch on God, and the Lord, and the, what you're saying, on the, on the Lord's grave, you know, the mess dinner, you're the mess server. So, and then they went around in each street, and they had a little thing, and it made noise. It was a wooden thing. And then people came, they said, "Wir haben gewacht im heiligen sein Grab. Wir wollen von euch eine Ostergab." And so people gave him 4 eggs or 2 eggs, or they gave him a ruble, or they gave Easter basket, Oscar, you know, like cake, they did something, coffee can. So they give you the name. That's what the kids got for standing guards on the Lord's grave, you know, all those 3 days. Mm-hmm. That was so beautiful. It was so nice. They stood guards all the while in the grave. So Easter was really beautiful.
They had like the Holy Thursday special services on Friday.
Yeah, Good Friday. And see, from Holy Thursday night on till midnight and Easter, Auferstehung, Resurrection, mm-hmm. they had to guard, stand guard on the Lord's grave, you know. It was real nice.
Then did the children get a little Easter basket with little candy?
Oh yeah, we made little Easter little houses under the house. We dug out and we put, that time there was always grass already, March, the grass is green already where we used to live. And then we dug a hole out and we put grass in and we made grass so the Easter rabbit sees where it has to go. And we seen it when Mark holidayed and everything, but we still believed in the Easter Bunny. And the real early Ma went out and she put all the, you know, the eggs and little candies and stuff like this. And then she knocked on, yeah, the Osterhaus, you shouldn't go vorbei, you know. Mm-hmm. Easter rabbit ran by. So we went out and there we got had the Easter basket full of eggs.
Yeah, so it was actually pretty much like, you know, it's the same customs like we have today.
Yeah.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. But it was more simpler, you know. You just prepared whatever you had. There was no extra going in the store and buying an Easter card or Christmas card. We didn't even know what an Easter card or Christmas card looks like, you know. That was out, you know. You just made it whatever you had, and that's all.
Was anything special done during Lent, like special services in church? Or?
Oh yeah, every twice a week we had the Station of the Cross, Wednesday and Fridays. In the afternoon we always had Station of the Cross, yeah. I was in the choir and we always had to sing, yeah. After every station we had to sing.
Once the communists took over, did everyone have to work 7 days a week, or were you given a day of rest?
You're given a day of rest, but if it was on a Saturday, you had to take a Saturday and you had to work Sunday. But there was no Easter, no New Year, no Christmas. There was only two holidays, and that's in October Revolution when it started, and in November the 7th when communists took over. There was only two holidays. If they fell on a Sunday, you had the holiday, and if they fell on a Monday, you had Monday. But there was no, you had to work 7 days, but there was no, then they, first they tried working 5 days and rest 6 days, and they didn't work, so they kept on. Let the people, they had to work whenever they, but no, the Sunday was out. There was no holiday, no.
How could you attend Mass then if they didn't allow
There wasn't
us?
Any Mass.
Oh, there wasn't any Mass.
Yeah, there wasn't any Mass anymore. And you were afraid even to go if there was still one. So that was just, when they started, there was just the old people went, but the young ones couldn't go.
So like with holidays, those, you know, if the church holiday fell on a weekday, like, you know.
They
like
not even consider that as a holiday. No, there was no, see, they didn't believe in God. So there was no Christmas, there was no Easter. No way, no, that was not even in the calendar, see. No, just them two holidays.
So it was just the government holidays and
just them two, that's all. But there was no Christmas and no Easter, no holidays, no. But in the early days, they had them all. They had like Pentecost and then, you know, Pfingsten, you know, all them holidays. But no, in the 30s, when the 30s came, they started. They were not even the calendar.
Did they ever have something like bazaars or fall harvest festivals?
They had, in like I say, when October was, when the revolution, see when the communists took over in 1914, and that was in October the 7th, that's when they took the Tsar over, that's when they celebrate our Oktoberfest. That's what it was. And they celebrate for 3 days. Yeah, that was the stuff. But the people itself couldn't do it. But the government did this, but we ourselves couldn't say, well, we have harvesting over. But we have what you call here, I don't know if you ever remember, if you Power Ma talked about Karva. Who's free? It is when everything is worked in, you know, in the everything field. So they had the young, the people who worked out, and the people, they give their labor, they give them a little more money. They said, well, you can celebrate now. Well, the young couple and then the young married couple, they went together. They had a little celebration, like a supper and a dance, but that was all. Nothing in church or anything, no.
Yeah, like nowadays,
that's what they call karva. It's, I don't know, but that used to be a big, and they don't fist, it used to be, but they cut it off.
So actually it would be kind of where the Oktoberfest got its beginning now.
Yeah, that's what it, like, see, they brought in Erntedankfest, see, that's what they celebrate in Germany. Mm-hmm. See, and it comes in October, that is in October, and it's 3 days. See, that's what the people took in, but they had it, but when communists took over, they couldn't take it anymore. See, and they don't fist, it means give thanks whatever the Lord give you through the year. Mm-hmm. And that's what we call Thanksgiving, and they don't fist. But see, in Russia, they couldn't do it.
Like, you know, it's started in so many communities, where they have the, what they call Oktoberfest, where they have the German meals the beer from Germany.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How were baptisms celebrated?
They were just, they invited your grandma and grandpa to, if they baptized a baby in church and everything. It was almost like here too, you know. Yeah. But not like through a mass, so the whole community could just, you have it in the afternoon or whenever you wanted it, but, you know, brothers and sisters, and if they wanted to witness it, they could go and witness to it. Yeah.
Did they celebrate names days over there?
Names day, but no birthdays. No birthdays. Names day every other day or every day, but not the birthday. Not the birthday. They celebrate every name is different from one to the other, but no birthdays.
How did they celebrate then? Was it a big occasion? Did they gather?
Well, they gather together and they, like you say, you have a potluck. They made potato salad and pig's feet and all that stuff, and they set it out and everybody helped themselves. Some of them played cards. Then they cleaned the big hall out, the big room, you know. Just some of them danced and some of them sang. And that's the way we sell, just like here. That's the same.
Did the Feist family ever have a Bible with any family history written in it?
There was nothing from a Bible, and I not even know if there was anybody who had any, because you not even could get them. I didn't even know how a Bible was looked. All I knew was the catechism, but that's all. All what we know, what Grandma and then Grandma told Ma and then Ma told us, but I mean, that was not.
So there was no Bible ever in your family. Did the priest there allow the Bible to be read by Catholics, if anybody had any?
All we had is catechism, and we had to go to catechism and everything, but they never explained, and everything was Latin that time yet in church too, so there was nothing from a Bible.
What happened at a funeral? In some areas, the bells tolled for as many years as the person was old when they found out someone died.
Uh-huh. No, it just when someone died, and then it said, it's somebody died, see? And then it spread around who died. okay, when the funeral, that time there was no embalming or anything, so they only kept them. But a man came and checked if they're really or dead, see. So they kept them, like one dies the afternoon till the next afternoon, then he got buried, see. But then from the time they walked out of the yard, then the bell rang until they were in church, and then from the church to the graveyard. But not all the years the way. Maybe in some community, but not by us.
Did that still happen at the time you were a little girl? You know, that
yeah.
When they rang those bells.
Yeah, I still remember when my pa died, I was 15. I remember when we had to go and tell the Kirchenvater what they say, like a usher or a, what you say, you know, a usher or there was always somebody in and helped father get dressed, get ready, you know. Well, you had to tell him, well, your dad died or somebody. So he rang the bell then, see, and then it got spread, you know, he died, and then you made the arrangements and so on.
Did they have a funeral home? I suppose not.
No.
I assume coffins were just pine boxes.
Pine boxes, and they were painted, you know, and laid out with they laid them out with, it was some kind of cloth, like a white cloth, but they put some what you call
the satin.
Satin in the bottom, and they made a little pillow. That's the way they laid them.
Were they allowed to say rosaries?
Well, they could say it, but when they had their own funeral, but they couldn't say it in an open funeral. Yeah. But they did. They say the rosaries. Yeah. Though they walked like they had, like peak service. You know, they came to the house. There was all night long. People come and go, but not quite communists.
Were they allowed to mark the graves after they died?
Yeah. We could cross the sun.
Did they make grave markers out of iron or use stone or marble?
No marble. They made them all mostly out of iron. Some of them, people who were a little poorer couldn't afford it. They had wooden crosses. But most of them had by the blacksmith, the iron made. And then they had the name and the date written on when they died, who they were.
What were the ones used by the family like? Can you remember what pattern they used?
Well, there were real nice ones, you know, like they had the nice cross with some roses, then they had a spiral head and a cross there. And then some of them, they had the corpse of Christ hanging on, and mostly were black, painted black, but they were real nice ones.
If there was no family left to care for the children, what happened to the children?
They had what you call a Weiser house. They called the Weiser house. That means, what you call it now, when they put one child, they have no parents. Foster home. Well, they had some homes where they put the people, the kids there, and then later on people who want to adopt, or they didn't say adopt, Aufnahme, you know, in German, so they took them out. But for time, if there were no relatives, they put them in there. Yeah, they had a home for them.
Were there any foods that you ate that you learned to cook from the Russians besides borscht soup?
No, not much. You know, they cook too much from pork, too fat, and they use too much salt. So whatever they cook good is, they make Krautplätzchen, you know, that's what they make good. That's the only thing. But the rest of it is too fat and too salty.
Did you ever stay in a Russian home?
Oh, yeah. We had good friends. They came over the river, and they helped us with our vineyards and painting our house and stuff. Yeah, we had good friends. Mm-hmm.
What was it like, you know, when you stayed in a Russian home?
Well, they're just people like we do. They're not just this particular on themselves like we are, but they like to have fun too, and they like to play, and they like to sing, they like to dance, and they like to have fun too. So they're not a bit different from us, but on itself they're not, and they're beautiful girls. They're much nicer than the white girls. They're so beautiful because when it's hot in summer, they never have their face out in the sun. They always have close their face and everything. But otherwise, they're fun with me. Mm-hmm.
So you had some good girlfriends?
Good friends. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when, you know, when there was something going on, you know, we invited to come over. And when they get married a whole week. They have wedding. They have 3 days in his house and 3 days in her house. So you can be prepared for a whole week wedding when you go to a Russian wedding, and a headache for a whole week too.
Did they have it, you know, big meals and
they like the German music, and they have big meals, you know. They cook pretty good, but they just cook simple, like borscht soup, and then they cook some other stuff, you know, but not as fancy as the Germans. They didn't know about scrambled eggs or omelette or cake or what. They like the big Johnny cake and stuff like this, but they're happy.
Were their clothes made a lot different than ours?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're a little dressed different, you know. They didn't mind to be thin. They like to be stout girls, you know. And then they have them white skirts always on, and like the men have the white pants, you know, flare and stuff like this. But in their fashion, you know, they're. But they never cut their hair or anything. They always parade their hair and everything, you know.
Would their lifestyles kind of remind you of the lifestyles of the Heatherites that we have living over here now?
No, not quite. They're more livelier. They're more livelier, you know. Yeah. The Heatherites, they're a little bit. They're living on a command, you know, like the tops tell them what to say. But the Russians, they speak out, you know, they're lively. Like if they have one wine or two wine, they jump with all feet and everything. Mm-hmm. So they're a little different, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I maybe shut it off. I want you to pretend that you are taking a walk down Strasbourg in the 1930s or 1940s. Pretend you are coming into the village from the north side and tell me who lives on either side of the street. Tell me what you remember about the family, and especially try to remember the first and last name of whoever lived there. When you get to the middle of the village, tell me what you see. If you remember when any of the buildings were built, tell about that too.
Well, I can remember when I come to the middle of the village, I can see the church, and I can see the courthouse, and I still can see the school, everything the way it was, but I cannot remember the time when it was built. That was before I was even born, so I wouldn't really. But and then from the courthouse up, I know there was some FedEx living, there was some Lauber living, there was some Sangers, there was some Fishers, there was some Shoemakers, but I really don't know the names anymore all the way. It's been too long already, so. That's all I can remember, you know.
Well, we described most of it on the on the sketch that we made. Was your first husband any relation to you or your father's family, since his name was Eugene Feist?
No, not related at all.
Were there several different Feist families?
Yeah, there was five or six of them, I'm pretty sure it's Strasburg, but none of them except Grandpa was the only one who was a Feist, and the other ones, they were not even cousins. So they were no relation at all.
Do you remember his father and mother's name?
I don't know, I just think about it. I cannot put it together. I wish I could get it together someday. Maybe it comes into my mind and then I'm gonna...
Okay. What were some of the names of the people who lived in Strasburg? Do you recognize or remember anything about a Joe Feist who lived in Selfridge?
I never heard nothing about him, but maybe he was much older than I am, but I don't know where he belonged or what.
Was there a good education system at that time in Russia? Did they have many schools?
Well, it was the law, you had to go up to the fourth grade and you could study German and Russian. But then when the war broke out, we couldn't talk no more German and couldn't study no more German. And everything was Russian and you had to go 8 years to school. And school start the same, like from seven years old. You had to go, but you could go in not the high school, but the upper grade, what they call it, Oberschule, what they call it. But then you had to go to Odessa if you had the money, if you want to study, you know. A lot of the people who are richer and well-to-do, they send their kids to Russia to study, some of them doctor, some of them veterinaries, a lot of them teacher, secretaries, but most of the poor one, the middle class, they couldn't afford it, so they had to work in the field and different jobs, whatever, like a skill, bricklayer or wood making houses or wagon and all like. Shoemaker and Schneider and stuff. They learned all the skill, the ones who didn't learn in the books. So, but you had to go to school, it was the law. But then strictly Russia after World War I. Couldn't talk German, but all the people in the 20s, from up to the 20s, the older people didn't know Russian, but they knew as much so nobody could sell them, but after that all the people knew German and Russian. They knew both languages real good. They could, you know, like being appointed into office or stuff like that, because then they had to know both, because people came in and couldn't talk Russian, so they had somebody. So, but everybody knew Russian and German.
Was
but no other language, you know, was, but they could, you could pick up reading, writing, arithmetic, the three subject what you need, you know, but if you want to do something else, then you had to go to the Oberschule, like to Odessa. That's where you picked up whatever you want to go in for.
Did they have an age limit then? Like, would they have to be, say, like 16 years old before they could quit school, like it used to be here years ago, or didn't it matter?
No, you had to go 8 years, no matter what. 8 years, you know, if you were, and they had grades too, they didn't let them pass, they had to sit 2 years in one grade too, so they had to pass them up, but, they got graded too, just like here, everything, you know, they got good and bad and satisfactory, stuff like that. But see, the government, they said you have to have up to the 8th grade, no matter how long it took you, but you have to have. And history was a big factor, the history you had to take.
What were some of the names of people who lived in Strasbourg? If you remember some first and last names, maybe you can give them both. Or
yeah, there was Schneiders, Heinrich Schneider, and there was Michael Fedich, and there was some Feist, but like my grandpa, my grandfather, Steve Feist. My father was Steve Feist. And there was Schumacher, Josef Schumacher. There was some Mitzel, Franz Mitzel. And there was, what was Monsignor Abelis? Monsignor Abelis.
Sebastian?
Parents.
Oh.
He used to live there. Nikolaus Oberle, Reinhardt, but some of the first name I didn't know so good anymore. There was quite a few singers, Schweitzers. Oh, I don't know. The first names there, you know, I didn't remember so good, but the family, that's...
Now, how were the fields worked and the crops planted?
Well, the fields were all, they were about 7 or 8 miles out. They went out Monday morning to the field and they came back Saturday nights. They took the water wagon with the water barrel and they had a covered wagon where they kept the food. They cooked out there and everything because they took the feed for the horses and everything, because it would be too far to go back and forth. But they stayed out all week. They plowed like, you know, the two-share plow. Later on they had three, but they had did everything with the horses. And they seeded mostly winter wheat and then sunflowers and corn and barley and oats, but not much spring wheat, because mostly winter wheat. And when it was time to cut it, so they cut it and bind it, you know, like with the bale, you know, and they hauled everything home. And then they had a thresh machine came to the yard and they threshed it. And then they put the wheat, you know, they haul it. You had you upstairs in your house, or you could haul it to the elevator right away if you needed the money. And some of them stored theirs outside, just covered it up. And the corn too, the corn had to be, cold weathered with the horse too, you know, and the sunflowers. And they cut them all, the sunflowers, and then hauled them home and then padded them out, you know, they had such big round heads, you know. And then when they were ripe, we just shake it like this and they fell all out. So they led it to the windmill and then took it to, there was an oil mill, and they took it down and they made some oil, sunflower oil. And the sunflower oil the people used, and some of them they sold. And the cakes, what they make from the shell and stuff, they feed it to the pigs. And the corn too, you know, used it for feeding, mostly feeding the pigs.
So they made oil out of the sunflowers way back then already?
Oh yeah. And good sunflower oil, that was real good, yeah. And they chewed a lot of they had special sunflowers for chewing, you know, the big ones, real big ones. And you could buy them at the market, you know, they were roasted and, but they made a lot. We had a lot of sunflower. And the stem from the sunflower, chopped them all off, tied them together in bundle and hauled them home and we burned it. That's what we used for burning.
Mm.
And the corn, that was all, when the corn was broken off, We chopped it all off and put it together in little bundles, and they hauled it home and feed the cows over the winter. Because there wasn't any hay. The horses got the oats and the oat straw, you know, they mixed that together for the horses, and the cows got the corn stuck.
How long were the winters there then where you had to feed your cattle?
Well, see, people didn't have too much, maybe 1, 2, 3 cows, depends on the family and the little barn they had and stuff. But the rich people, you know, they had horse bars, they had big ones there. Well, it got cold too in November already, but by March then the snow was gone and everything. See, there where we live, there's hardly any wind, and we had snow sometimes too. It got real cold, but it didn't last. It didn't last. But over the summer we had quite, you know, 2-3 rains a month, and that's all what it took to, you know, nothing was irrigated or anything, just what we got from above. And the soil was as black as coal and as smeary as butter. And you know, when you drove with the horses and the wagon, you know, it got such a crust on from that, you know, it was just black. Like soil. But then in some places was a little more sandy, you know, but where we used to live, mostly Russian, the soil is black. The rich, real rich. It, you didn't have to do nothing, just stick it in the ground and it grows. Like the gardens and stuff, the cabbage and stuff, there's big heads and potatoes, just like baby heads, didn't do nothing to them, just planted them and that's it. And they smelled so good, so fresh, you know, nothing chemical, nothing.
Yeah, that's too much of that is used nowadays over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I think that's why there's so many sickness and stuff. But I said, people die too there, sure, it is the life the way, you know, people have to die, so young people. But I mean, you didn't hear nothing about heart attack.